All right, with your Bibles in your hands, let's get ready to transition into the Word of the Lord. We will do our confession first, and then we will pray over the preaching moment. All right, get your Bibles in your hand and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. Y'all know what to do. If you believe you're going to be fed, make some noise. All right, let's bow our heads and then let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we love you. We ask that you would bless this preaching moment, allow it to have preaching power and preaching anointing and preaching understanding. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to do a little bit of backtrack and cover from on last week. We said I wasn't for sure if it's going to be a series. I do know now it will be a series. And so let's look at last week was called Money Movers. And here was the main takeaway from the Money Movers. It is that faith plus finances is how miracles happen. We were talking about offering and giving, and we were talking about how you stretch yourself and you do even when you can't do, and then the miraculous will show up. And so that was Money Movers. But today we're going to go for Money Movers, and we're going to put this up and let's show them what it is. Money Takers. So Money Movers and then Money Takers. Once again, we are sharing that we are not a church that believes the poorer you are, the better off you are. I do not subscribe to that theology, but nor do I subscribe to the theology that the richer you are, the better you are spiritually. Money is an inanimate object. It is neither good nor evil. It's the spirit that is attached to it that is good or evil. And so you have to make up in your mind how it's going to be in your life. Are you going to use money for evil? And the scripture says you can't serve God and money, or mammon, which is a spirit that attaches itself to money, or are you going to use it for good? And I believe you are going to use it for good, and that's why we're talking about it. So we talked about money movers, moving money in places and putting it into the kingdom of God for specific reasons and then stretching yourself. But now we're going to talk about money takers. There is a time to take money, or another word is to receive money. Let's look at a scripture that's familiar to us of hearing it, but you may not know where it is found. So let's show you where it's found. It's Acts 20:35. Read that, Mother Mitchell.
In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak.
Here's the famous part.
Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
We've heard that many times. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. It actually says, Paul says that Lord Jesus said it himself. What's interesting is you won't find it in the Gospels. So the people that Paul talked to, because Paul didn't know the Lord, he wasn't there when he was around. But the people that talked to Paul told him that this is something that Jesus would say, and he must have been something he would say often. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. But I don't want you to misrepresent that phrase. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive, but that doesn't mean it is not a blessing to receive. It is just more blessed to give than it is to receive. Some people are so much givers that they forget that in the process there is receiving as well. There is a blessing in receiving. It is a greater blessing in giving, but there is a blessing in receiving. So being a money taker is not a problem. If I walk out of this church and someone gives me one of those Holy Ghost handshakes, which is a handshake with money in it, I'm not so foolish that I got to give it back and said, oh, baby, I don't need it. Maybe I don't need it, but I'm in a taking season. So thank you, and I will take and I will receive. So it is okay to be a receiver. If you are a money mover and a offerer and a giver, it is okay to be a receiver. We just want to teach you how to be the right kind of receiver, because everyone is not a good receiver. So having said that, let's give us a definition for receive. Let's look at that. It is to be given, presented with, or paid something. Be given, presented with, or paid something. Let me pause and before I go on. Those of you who do things for other people, it is okay to be paid. You're always shoveling snow. You're always taking care of, always checking out for folk, always looking out for people. And if someone says, I want to pay you, stop fighting it, because sometimes you are giving and God is trying to get you to receive, and you got so deep that you're giving so much, you don't know how to receive. And those of you who have businesses, it's okay to charge and tell people it costs this. If I'm going to babysit your child, this is what I cost. And if you don't want to pay that, we ain't got to fall out. Your baby just can't come here. Because it's okay to be paid for my services. Don't be so spiritual that you don't know how to take when it's time to take. Now, some people are on the flip side. They want to charge for everything. I called you, so you owe me. No, I don't owe you. I didn't tell you to call me. We ain't talking about getting over on people, but those people who are givers, sometimes we have to learn how to receive, because we are so used to giving, we don't know how to receive. So it's okay to be a money taker. Somebody say that with me. Say, it's okay to be a money taker. All right, so now we're going to talk about four types of receivers. Go ahead and flash that up. Four types of receivers. And so last week, we talked about four types of givers. Today, we're going to talk about four types of receivers. Two of the receivers are good, and two of the receivers are negative. And you'll pretty much figure it out as we go. So we're going to start off with the very first one. Number one is takers and leavers. These are takers and leavers. Let me tell you, these people irritate me, because I'm trained to have an attitude of gratitude. So if someone can just take and leave without ever acknowledging what was done, to me, there's something wrong with that kind of receiver. Let me tell on myself. I'm a kind fella. I like to, especially in this cold weather, if I see you behind me and you're a couple steps behind me, I'll hold the door open and stand in the cold for you to walk through. But if you don't say thank you and you don't acknowledge it, even though I'm saved and sanctified, I ain't open the door for you no more. Unless the Holy Spirit convicts me and tell me I got to. Because I don't like takers and leavers. At least acknowledge what I've done. There's nothing worse than relationships where people in relationships are taken for granted. That's how people end up in divorce, because you take things for granted. If your wife puts food on your plate and puts it on your desk while you're working, say thank you. Don't just sit there and take and eat and not say anything, not do anything. If you are a child and you living in your mama's house, every now and then say thank you. Don't just be a taker and a leaver. So let's look at scripture, Luke 17:11. This is a familiar story.
Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee.
Jesus was going somewhere. He was not necessarily planning on doing anything. He was just going somewhere. But look what happens in verse 12.
As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance.
He wasn't going to the lepers. He was going somewhere else. But 10 lepers, they interacted with him. They stood at a distance because if you were a leper and had leprosy, you were not supposed to be out. You were not supposed to be near because it was a contagious disease, at least believed to be contagious. Look at verse 13.
And called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us."
So they collectively called out and said, "Have pity on us. Have mercy on us." There's nothing wrong with calling out for God. Jesus was going in to do something else, but they got his attention. And they was like, "Listen, look at us. We've heard you are a healer." Maybe they planned on coming out because they heard who he was. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. They said, "If I can touch the hem of his garment." So they heard he might be passing by. They came out at the right time and they yelled, "Jesus, do something for us." Look at the next verse.
When he saw them, he said, "Go. Show yourselves to the priests," and as they went, they were cleansed.
The beautiful power about Jesus with his word, he spoke healing over their life. Let me pause. This is not in the notes, but let me throw this in here. Two things. It's okay for you to yell in church when Jesus is near. Number two, it's okay to allow the word of the Lord to be spoken over your life to change your situation. And they yelled out to Jesus, and Jesus just said, "Hey, go to the priest and show yourself." Why would we go to the priest? Because what would happen is if you had leprosy, in order for you to be back in population, if you thought you were cleansed, you had to go to the priest. And the priest was the ones who told you, "Yeah, you're clean. You could go out." And the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. The miracle happened as they went, as they were walking. So just picture it in your mind. They called out to Jesus. He didn't stop and touch them. He didn't put oil on their head. He just spoke one word over their life. And as they are walking, they are getting cleansed. Stuff is changing. Stuff is shifting. Stuff is happening. And they kept on walking. But that leads me to point number two. Then there are these type of people, and I like these type of people. These are takers and thinkers. There are those who take or they receive and they just leave and go on about their business. But there's other people who are so infected with the attitude of gratitude that they can't take without thinking. So let's look and go back to the same story and continue. Now remember, it was 10 lepers. Let's look at this.
One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice.
One of them, which means there were 10 of them, so that means 9 of them, or 90% of them, they just took the healing and kept on going. But this other fellow, once he realized something happened to him, he came back. He turned around. He said, "I don't want to forget the one who did what I needed to be done. So let me come back and say, thank you, Lord." See, there are some people who come to church and they'll twiddle them thumbs and look around. But there's other people, they are ready to thank the Lord and ready to praise the Lord. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how good God has been to me. So don't stop my praise. Don't stop my hallelujah. I'm not a taker and a leaver. I'm a taker and a thanker. Thank you, Lord. Do you remember in the old church at the end of the service, no matter how long the service had been, somebody invariably at the end when they said, now I pray thee, may the Lord watch between me and thee. But somebody would break out with, "Thank you, Lord." And even though you had been there a long time, it would sweep over the congregation. "Thank you, Lord." And then you've been so good. See, when you are a taker and a thanker, you can't help but praise the Lord. I don't care how long I've been in church, I still got time to say, thank you, Lord. I still got time to say, thank you, Jesus. Now, back in the day when they were trying to get people to get the Holy Ghost, they would bring you down front and they would pray over you and they would just say, thank you, Jesus.
Say thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus. Because there is something about a taker and a thanker that what happens to you when you take but thank, something happens down on the inside. And I thank God I got a few thankers in the building. I thank God I got a few praisers in the building. I thank God I got a few worshipers in the building. Now, not everybody who is a thinker is a loud thinker, but you can tell some people just sit in their seat and shake their head. Sometimes tears run down their face because I'm thanking the Lord for how good he has been to me. Now, 90% of the people, they saw the same thing. They were healed as they were going, but only one had the mindset to come back and say, thank you. Now, let's look at what happens in the next verse. Not only did he say thank you, what did he do, Reed?
He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan.
Oh, what's interesting is back in the day, the Jews didn't believe the Samaritans had anything. So he wasn't religious. He didn't know all the religious stuff, but he knew how to thank the Lord. He knew how to praise the Lord. And the Bible says he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Here's the problem, church folks. Sometimes it's folk out there that know how to thank better than the folk in here. Sometimes you can do stuff for church folk and they'll act like you ain't done a thing. And sometimes you can do stuff for worldly folk and they'll never forget it. Every time they see you, they'll wave at you. They'll go out their way to say, how you doing, Pastor Andre? How you doing, Sister Teresa? Because they're so appreciative of who you are in their life. And yes, they may have a cigarette in their hand and Hennessy in their cup, but they got to thank you down on the inside. And the person with the curvy collar is too cute to acknowledge what you've done in their life. Have you ever heard somebody retell a story that you were in, but when they retell it, they don't say nothing about you? Your five-year-old could not tie their shoes, and so Andre helped him learn how to tie his shoes. But when you retell the story, ooh, my baby, I don't know when it happened. She just learned how to tie her shoes. You know when it happened. You know the truth. But some folk will retell the story and exclude you. That's a taker and a leaver. But I want a taker and a thanker that knows how to say thank you for what you have done. Now here in this church, I can't complain. Y'all some thanking people. Y'all be thanking me for what I do. Y'all thank me for what I have. And sometimes y'all don't even want to bother me with some of y'all issues because you're like, I don't want to bother him. I want to let him rest because y'all are grateful for the man of God you have in your life. When I say y'all, it ain't everybody. Because some folk will come to church and then go talk about me like a dog. But I'm not worried about those because this is what I found out about the scripture. Jesus never bothered the other nine. So you ain't got to worry about the takers and leavers. You just start focus on the thankful people. Now you ought to have some wisdom. You got to start learning how to give more to the thankers than you give to the leavers. Because as Maya Angelou said, when a person shows you who they are, believe them. If you can always exclude me and never tell the truth, you never tell what I was in your life. God just delivered me. I don't know how. Yeah, I know how you called me 17 days in a row and cried on the phone with me. And I know God stepped in and made the work, but don't exclude me out the story. Can you at least say thank you? It ain't gonna hurt some people to say thank you, but some people are so prideful. It's hard for them to say thank you. All right, let's look at what Jesus does. He doesn't dog them. He just asks a question. Read.
Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9?
He said, were you the only one that got blessed? Did all of them get blessed? Where are the other 9? And let's read the next verse.
Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner.
Except this foreigner, this worldly person that don't know nothing about church. This person that know more about hip hop than they know about gospel. Is this the only one that has an attitude of gratitude? Read verse 19.
Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your father, your faith has made you well."
Your faith has made you well. Another version says your faith has made you whole. He didn't dog the other nine. He just asked a question about him. And then he spoke to this one. He said, "Go ahead, get up." Because he was still down on the ground praising. This was a real praiser. He was still down on the ground praising. He said, "Go get up. Your faith has made you whole." See, here's the thing. Your faith has made you well or whole, or you are fully complete. Here's what some people don't understand. When you are a taker and a leaver, you don't get the full blessing. You get the immediate blessing, but you don't get the full blessing. When you are a taker and a thinker, you get stuff that folk can't see. You get stuff that people don't know about. Jesus gives a little extra to those who are grateful. Even as a human being, when you deal with people who are grateful, it's just easier to do more for grateful people. If you've ever dealt with the elderly, sometimes when they get older and they get senile, sometimes they can be a little harder to work with and deal with, because they'll tell you off, they'll get in little attitudes. But some people are old but still sweet. And some people are old and cranky. And when you have to deal, if you've ever worked in a nursing home or dealt with people, some folk, even though you're helping, you really don't want to, because they can be mean, nasty, and ugly. And others can be real sweet and kind. So we ought to be one of those sweet and kind people, not a taker or leaver, but a taker and a thinker. Let's go to point number three. What about this? Takers and eaters. So we have takers and leavers, takers and thinkers. We want to be the thinkers. Now we have takers and eaters. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 9:10. We're going to only do the A clause of the version, which means the first part of the verse.
"For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat."
Bread to what?
Eat.
Bread to eat. So as we've talked about in receiving, there comes a time where it's okay to eat. It's okay to receive. It's okay to take and eat. Everything doesn't have to be for everybody else. Let me talk to you adults who have kids. Every now and then, you can go to the drive-thru and not buy for the whole family. You can go and grab an ice cream and not worry about if everybody got some. You always worried about everybody else. Every now and then, I ain't talking about being selfish. Every now and then, go to Starbucks and don't ask nobody else. Get something for yourself. You deserve it. But now and then, now you may have to do like I do, where you go, and once you get in the driveway, you eat it real quick and throw it away before you get in the garage. So don't nobody know. But it's okay to be an eater. There's nothing wrong with taking and eating at certain times. But years ago, Mother Mabel Woods, the late Mother Mabel Woods, she would always say to us, "Don't eat your seed." So it's okay to be a taker and eater, but don't eat the wrong thing. The scripture says that he gives bread to eat. So you got to know what to eat, and you also have to know what to sow. Because everything that comes into your hand is not for eating. Some of it is for sowing. So on last week, when I talked about stretching myself, I talked about how that I was trying to bless someone who was in the hospital, and then somebody called me and they owed me money, and they had given me money that they had owed me that I didn't know that was coming to me. Now, I could have eaten that. I could have taken that because I gave it a long time ago, but God was letting me know this is not for you to eat. This is for you to sow. So that's going to lead me to point number four. This is only four of them. We have takers and leavers, takers and thinkers, takers and eaters. And go ahead, put up four. Takers and sowers. So let's look at this same verse that we just did, but we only read the A clause. We're going to read it in its entirety. Read 2 Corinthians 9:10 in its entirety. What does it say?
"Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food.
That's for the eating.
And multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness.
So the whole scripture now in 2 Corinthians 9, it is a giving chapter. It's a chapter about giving, but it talks about all these other things, but it focuses on the eating for a small amount. Everything else is talking about the sowing. And so let's put this up, and this will help you have a takeaway that you can understand. I'll read it. It says, eating meets the immediate need, but sowing invests into your future. So sometimes things come into your hand and you immediately try to eat it up. But it may not be for your now. It could be for your next. So you got to realize, is this bread or is this seed? Because if this is bread, I can eat it. But if this is seed, I am hindering my future when I eat what I'm supposed to be sowing. It's okay to take and eat, but don't eat what you should be taking and sowing. So many times when money comes in our hands, oh, it's tax season. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go here. I'm going to do that. You need to also think about what you're going to sow. Because if you eat it all up, and all of us know who've been in life, we know how lump sums can go faster than you thought it will go. I had 5,000 and I looked up, I had 2,500, looked up, I had 1,250, looked up, I had 500. I don't know where it went, because sometimes if you don't have a budget and you don't have control, you'll eat too fast. And it's amazing when you get extra eaters show up in your life. For the last 3-4 months, I've been eating out by myself. Now that I got money, I got 6, 7, and 8, a table of 9. It's different when folk get money. People, as Mother Woods also would say, folk will come out the woodwork like roaches. They'll just show up. Gimme, gimme, gimme. So sometimes you got to learn how to take some of that and sow it. Make it a seed. Make it a something I'm putting into my future. In other words, like we talked about last week in the first fruits, before I eat this all up, God's got to get his portion. God's got to get what belongs to him. But here's the thing. God doesn't need money. God don't need no money. He don't need nothing from us. The scripture says, he said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, because I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. So if God is asking something from you, it's only to get it back to you. And it's to get it back to you in multiplication. Because the Bible doesn't say he multiplies the bread to eat, but he multiplies the seed to sow. So if you really want to move into multiplication, God says you got to be not just a taker and eater, you got to be a taker and a sower. All right, so let's just, I know you understand it, but let's just put it up really quick so you can see it. Let's just do some simple addition. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. 3 + 3 = 6. 4 + 4 = 8. 5 + 5 = 10. That is addition. And listen, addition is better than subtraction. So addition is something, but addition doesn't function like multiplication. If you had the choice to choose between the two, multiplication is better than addition, because addition, even though it adds, which is where we get the word addition, it adds to you, but it adds in increments and it adds slowly. But multiplication moves a little quicker. And some of y'all, for what you need, you don't need addition, you need multiplication. I've been in so much debt, I need you to multiply some blessing. So I can't just be a taker and an eater. I got to be a taker and a sower. All right, let's do the same thing. Let's look at it again. This is the only time it's different is in the very first one. 1 × 1 = 1. That is the only time in multiplication that the number in multiplication is lower than the number in addition. But here is the wisdom and the revelation. When you do it by yourself, sometimes you end up by yourself. See, 1
times one only equals one. But me and God is more than one times one. It's me and God, and that makes a difference. So let's look. 2 times 2 equals 4. 3 times 3 equals 9. When you get to the 2, it looks just like addition. But by the time you get to the third cycle, it's a little different. 3 plus 3 is 6, but 3 times 3 is 9. All right, then you go 4 times 4 is 16. 4 plus 4 is 8, but 4 times 4 is 16. 5 plus 5 is 10, but 5 times 5 is 25. And the more you go, the more it expands. 16 plus 16 is 32, but 16 times 16, I don't even know what it is. I'd have to pull up a calculator because it's a multiply. Well, it's time for some of y'all to move into multiplied blessings. It's time out for just addition blessings. I need some multiplication blessings. I need some stuff that folk got to pull out their calculator and wonder, how did God do it? Last time I was around you, you was broke, but baby, that was 2023. This is 2025, and in 2024, I was a sower. So in 2025, it's going to look different than what it used to look because I moved into multiplication. So let's put this other takeaway up to help us bring it home. Eating meets the immediate need, but sowing is the only thing that promises multiplication. So what that means is sometimes you can't eat what you want to eat. Let me talk about real men, real fathers, real men. Many times they will bring the money home and they will go hungry so the family can eat. But when they operate in that type of sowing and put their family first, God will multiply what happens in their life. God will turn things around. The truth of my life is that God has done things for me that don't make sense because he's moved me into multiplication. He's allowed me to be blessed when it didn't make sense. He's allowed me to do what didn't seem like it should be done, but it's not addition, it's multiplication. And some of y'all are just going to need to have that as your response. Because people are going to look at you, how you did it? And you just say, baby, it's multiplication. They ain't even going to know what you're talking about, but it's multiplication. It don't add up. It don't add up. You ain't got no degree in how you got more money than me. Baby, it's multiplication. It ain't got to add up with you because me and God multiplied together. It's like the 2 fish and the 5 loaves. It don't make natural sense, but God is not a natural God. He's a supernatural God. And once I got in the sowing process, things have been multiplied. So don't hate on me. Hate the game, don't hate the player. Oh, I ain't supposed to say that in church. My fault. Don't hate. God know how to do what he gonna do. So don't hate, celebrate. Now let's go all the way back to the scripture and see what God says and let us know that this is an original plan. Let's look at Genesis 1:28, one of the first commands man was ever given. Read this.
It is only the
first part of the verse, so go ahead and read.
And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply.
And at the beginning, we were supposed to be in multiplication, not addition. So when God starts to multiply, I'm just doing what I was supposed to be doing from the beginning. Like I said, don't be mad at me. God is just multiplying my life. All right, we're getting ready to get out of here, but I got to add something in here because I do want us to understand once you get into the sowing process, I do need to make you aware, Brother Donald, that it doesn't always look like you thought it would look. Sometimes when I'm preaching like this, the assumption is it's sowing and reaping just like that. I sow in the offering today, I reap something supernatural tomorrow. Sometimes that does happen, but sometimes it doesn't happen. In my normal reading, I'm back reading the Bible again at the beginning of the year, and I'm in the time of Abraham and Sarah. And when you look at their life, it took 25 years for the promise to come to pass. And one of the things we can do, we can lose hope in the middle because there is seed and then there is harvest, but they don't always happen simultaneously. Sometimes I do. You bless somebody and get blessed the same day in the same moment. Sister Ella was sharing me a blessing where she gave and got blessed in almost instantaneously, but it don't happen like that all the time. So for those of you who are in waiting processes and you've already been a sower, you've been a taker and a thanker, and you've been a taker and a sower, but you don't really feel like you've advanced, let me explain to you, and go ahead and put it back up, the four steps in the sowing process. Now, there's more steps, but I'm just going to give you four to help you understand. So now let's give us a verse. Genesis 8:22 says what?
While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease.
All right, read it one more time.
While the earth remains, seed time
Wait,
and harvest.
Just a second. Read it again.
While the earth remains, seed time.
That's what I want to get us to. In the English is made one word, seed time, but split it up. It is three words. It's seed, time, then harvest. A lot of times when you don't see anything, you're in the time. Mm-hmm. You're in the patience. Just in natural sowing, when you put tomato seed in the ground, tomatoes don't pop up the next day. It's a process. So I don't want you to get fearful when it doesn't look like the process is working, because many times the process is working behind the scenes. There's seed, time, and harvest. And this scripture that she just read, it lets us know about, it is a not just a spiritual principle, it is a natural principle, because it goes on to say seed, time, and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. As long as you've been on this earth, there's always been both day and night. There's been summer and there has been winter. It's a part of the process, but seed, time, and harvest is a part of the process. So let's give us number one. Number one in the process is sowing, breaking. The scripture that says, break up the fallow ground. In normal gardening and sowing and farming, you normally have to till the ground before you put anything in the ground. So for those of you who are sowers, and I'm talking about specifically sowing money, you're taking and receiving money, but turning around and sowing money, sometimes that money is actually breaking up things first before it produces anything. And you're looking like, I didn't get nothing. Nothing happened, because it's breaking. Many times it's breaking the poverty mindset that runs through your entire family that was in great-great-grandmama. So you have to break that stuff up. So you have to keep sowing, because the first step is sowing, breaking, or sowing, tilling. It's got to plow through some stuff first. It's got to break some stuff first. Let me pause and say it like this, and I don't mean to say it like this, but just stay with me just for a minute. But if you grown up and all the women in your life, they use what's between their legs to get money, and here you are deciding, I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to go that way. When you sow, you got to break up all that's in your family, because this is what some of y'all have been taught. It don't make sense to have a poor pocketbook and you got fresh legs. But if you're going to be holy, you can't do everything that everybody else did. And sometimes all you got to do is look at their life and see that they're 85 and lonely, so it didn't really work for them. So maybe I got to do something different. But when you sow, it don't change stuff right away, because you're breaking up those generational curses. Well, let me talk to you, man. You always got to sell a little weed on the side to make ends meet. Yeah, you can do that, but a lot of people who do it, if you do it well, you either end up dead or in jail. So you're going to have to do stuff the opposite way. And one of the things that's rough, saints, is seeing people doing better than you that you know is living worse than you. Boy, they living high on the hog, and you praying, you believing God, you fasting, and you can't hardly rub two nickels together. And you mean I'm supposed to come to church and say, thank you, Lord? Yes, you still are, because you're sowing, but you're breaking up things. But here's the thing. It's almost like Jet Clamping. When it breaks, it breaks showing up. Up from the ground comes a bubbling crew. When it breaks, but sometimes you got to sow till it breaks. Yeah. So they're sowing, breaking, and then look at this. Put number two up in just a second. They're sowing fertilizer. So not only does the ground have to be broken, but the soil has to be the optimum soil in order for things to grow. So many times you're sowing and you're breaking, and then you're sowing and you're fertilizing, and still ain't nothing come up yet. Ain't nothing happened yet. Have you ever been nice to people? We're not going to talk about money right now. We're talking about just being nice to people. I'm being nice to them, and they being kind of ugly to me. On my job, I'm going to try to be nice to them, and they still being ugly. But just keep on doing it, because many times you're breaking. You're fertilizing. You're stripping things down. Because you know some of them are? I don't like black folk. So God puts your black self right in their department. And when you come with your smile on their face, I don't like black folk, but it's something about her. I don't like, but see, God's breaking up that racism. You're fertilizing stuff. You're tearing down some stuff. I ain't talking about you got to kiss up under nobody. I'm just saying be you, be the sweet, kind you. But you're sowing and you're breaking and you're fertilizing. Let's go to number three. So we got the sowing breaking, the sowing fertilizing, and then there is the sowing sprouting. Then you start seeing stuff. The problem when you start seeing stuff, sometimes you want to be a taker and eater. You want to grab that little sprout and eat it. No, leave it alone. Let it keep on sprouting. Let it keep on growing. I don't know why I'm on this, but let me get back to it. For those of you who are trying to live holy, you've been working on a relationship. And you finally think you got a good man. You've been on three dates. But I think it's good to lay with him now. No, don't rush. Something just sprouting. Chill out. Wait a minute. Slow your roll. Let the process work. Chill out. Sometimes you get in the ground and you pull stuff up too fast. Leave it alone. Let it sprout. It's working. Let me tell you something about a real man. If he want it, he'll wait. That's enough. I don't want to bother y'all. I ain't talking to none of y'all. I'm talking about the folk over there in TV land. I ain't talking to y'all. Oh, let me flip it. It ain't always just the man in a rush. Sometimes it's the woman in a rush. And men, we ain't trained to say no. Oh, praise the Lord. She a breakout. No, you need to say no too. Because you rushing. There's somebody in child support court right now that wish they wouldn't have rushed too fast. Sometimes you do, it's something sprouting and you ripping it up. I've worked for General Motors for almost 30 years. I haven't quite got to 30 years. But I've seen people that start off working with me that quit. Because by the time they got their check, child support took so much from their check that they just like, ain't no need me working. They quitting. But here's the thing. That was decisions they made a long time ago. Oh, it's cute to have 7-8 girlfriends until all of them get pregnant at the same time. And ain't nobody aborting that. They all keeping it. And then you got to pay all that. It's cute to be a player until it catches up with you. Sometimes you just got to wait and stop ripping stuff out and just trust the process. I'm sowing some good stuff. I'm sowing some righteous things. I'm sowing some smart things. I'm sowing some wisdom. And so guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to allow the process to work. You ain't got to be in a hurry. You ain't going nowhere tomorrow. Heaven ain't coming for you tomorrow. Chill out and trust the process. And here's number four. This is the one that we like and what we want to get to. This is what it is. It's sowing, reaping. You finally get to the reaping, but there needs to be the breaking, the fertilizing, the sprouting, and then the reaping. Now let me give you scripture for this so you know that it's true. Let's look at Mark 4, and actually Jesus says this. Mark 4:27 says this.
He sleeps at night, is up about during the day, and all the while the seeds are sprouting and growing, yet he does not know how it happened.
This is talking about the sower. He puts it in there and then he goes to sleep. He rests and then things begin to work. The whole soil, seed soil process is amazing. We don't even know how it works. And I preached on it and taught on it before, how the seed goes in and dies and how it affects the soil and it causes the soil to shift its atmosphere and then things begin to sprout. You don't know how all of that works and how that is a natural principle. It's also a spiritual principle. Like I said, God don't need your money. So how does any of this work? I really don't know. But as you rest in the promises of God and you do what you're supposed to do, you watch God work. I told you several months ago how I gave away my first Cadillac. And then years later, almost 20 years later, I'm driving a brand new Cadillac. It didn't make sense then, but it was going in the soil. It was doing something. And guess what? If I want to, I have Cadillacs for the rest of my life because God has put me in the blessing stream. I'm now reaping, but it started off as a seed. I told the people in Bible study on my very, very first car, the car that I wanted. I loved the color purple, the car that I wanted. It was at Polo Jeep, back when Polo Jeep Eagle was a place on Broadway, Martin Luther King. It was a purple Eagle Talon two-seater. And I would walk around that car, pray for it, and say, this is what I'm saving up. This is what I hope God would give for me. And I would go and look at it, and it looked so good. It would just be glistening, whether it was snowing or it was summer. It seemed like it would just glisten off the lot. It was drawing and talking to me like in the movies. Ooh, I was just like, yes. But one day I was looking at it and I just heard God speak this soft thing in my spirit. It wasn't loud. It was just down in my spirit. He simply said, if you get this car, who could you take to church with you? No, he said, how many people can you take to church with you? And I thought about it. It's only a two-seater. Only two people could go with me. And then I looked over my shoulder and there was a Jeep. There was a five-seater Jeep. And from then on, God never told me I couldn't have the two-seater, but he was showing me if I bless you, who will get blessed with you? See, if you just get a two-seater, who can ride with you other than your boo? Can you help anybody else? And so I changed my mind, and God ended up giving me a Jeep. And then I would take people not only to church, I would take people to work. I would bless people. And guess what? I have always stayed in a blessed car, and I've always been able to pay the cars off. And ain't nobody ever repossessed one of my cars because I started off early sowing. Everything is not about you. Sometimes the blessing is not about you. It's for you to get through you to somebody else. And if you learn the lesson early, it'll bless you. Some of y'all have, y'all learned the lesson and now y'all in reaping season. You're in taking season and it is okay. So let's read that again and read the next verse and then we'll close.
The soil itself makes the plants grow and bear fruit. First the tender stalk appears.
First the tender stalk appears.
Then the ear.
Then the ear.
And finally the ear full of corn.
All right, so when the tender stalk appears, don't pull it out. It ain't ready yet. Put it back up there for us. When the ear pops up, don't pull it out. It's not ready yet. Finally, the ear full of what? Corn. When it's full grown, take it and eat it. So many of y'all been in the process and you see little growth, but it's going to go ahead and sprout and it's going to be everything you need to be. Then enjoy it. Enjoy and don't let anybody make you feel bad for enjoying what you have been in the process of working on. All right, we're going to go to a confession. So money movers and now money takers. Here's the confession. I'll read it first. And then we'll stand and do it together. Here's it, me reading it first. To truly receive, I can't just be a taker. I must be a thanker and a sower. I must be a taker, thanker, and a taker, sower to see multiplication. And I will trust the process until I see harvest. All right, come on, let's stand to our feet. Let's do this together. Say it with me, to truly receive. I can't just be a taker. I must be a thanker. And let's do it right now. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. And a sower to see multiplication. Somebody say this with me. I don't want just addition. I want multiplication. And I will trust the process until I see harvest. Now add this. Somebody say, harvest hit my house. Harvest hit my life. Harvest hit my family. In Jesus' name. Come on and praise the Lord.
Hey, we're getting ready to pray, and then afterwards you can come up for prayer. Sister Darlene came up for prayer last week, and in 7 days, she already got a harvest in 7 days of what we prayed for last week. So some of y'all are at reaping time, so it's not going to take forever. So believe the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, thank you. Not only are we money movers, moving in the right place, but we're money takers, but we're taking correctly. We're going to take, but we're going to thank. We're going to take and we're also going to sow. We're going to trust the process. And when it's harvest time, we're going to enjoy it and not be sad about walking in what you have for us. Because what God has for me, it is for me. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And let everybody say, amen. God bless you. Have a great, wonderful, and a marvelous week.